There's an envelope going around. It looks like this. So just hold on to that as it comes around. I just want to share a thought or two with you guys about the giving. David had some really great thoughts on that. It's really amazing to see his life go from being utterly consumed with getting to giving. That's really a transformation that is a work of God in your heart. If you would, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. A lot of people do get a little nervous when you bring up the giving subject. So I hope that if there's anybody out there tonight who's a little bit, gets a little nervous when the plate is passed, that the things that we talk about will give you a slightly different perspective, and maybe you can actually get enthusiastic about the whole concept of giving. This is not a new problem. Paul ran into it too. In his church in Corinth, he had issues with giving. And it's sort of interesting the way he handled it. So I'm just going to read from chapter 9, verses 3 through 14. He says, "My defense to those who examine me is this. Do we not have a right to eat and drink? Do we not have a right to take along a believing wife, even as the rest of the apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or do only Barnabas and I not have a right to refrain from working? Who at any time serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat the fruit of it? Or who tends a flock and does not use the milk of the flock? I am not speaking these things according to human judgment, am I? Or does not the law also say these things? For it is written in the law of Moses, 'You shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing.' God is not concerned about oxen, is he? Or is he speaking altogether for our sake? Yes. For our sake it was written, because the plowman ought to plow in hope, and the thresher to thresh in hope of sharing the crops. If we sowed spiritual things in you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? If others share the right over you, do we not more? Nevertheless, we do not use this right, but we endure all things so that we will cause no hindrance to the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who perform sacred services eat the food of the temple? And those who attend regularly to the altar have their share from the altar? So also, the Lord directed those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel." I really like what John said about the ordinary man. And I really appreciate the fact that at this conference, we celebrate the way God uses all of us, the ordinary man. So there's actually a very small percentage of people who ever find themselves in a situation where, as a vocation, they minister to other people. But there are those percentage of us, because I'm one, who do that. And you have a slip of paper there with some names. These guys are all very closely associated with the network, the ministry network here, which radiates out from here. So I'm just going to have you guys stand just to, I think everybody knows who you are, but Shannon Hamrick, Noel Nelson, Mark Stevens, Mark's the guy they were ripping in the skit, in case anybody doesn't realize that. Okay, thanks, fellas. These are men whom God has called to commit themselves to the work of the ministry. And the point that Paul is making here is that those who commit themselves to the work of the ministry are deserving of material support. It's interesting how Paul reinforces that principle at three levels. First of all, there's his own apostolic authority. He is one gifted by God, called by God, to speak the words of God, the very words of God. And so Paul in this chapter is saying that those who commit themselves to the work of the ministry deserve material support. But he also reinforces that principle with a quotation from the law. Do you see in verse 9? It's a reference from Deuteronomy 25. It is very obscure. You would never notice this verse, probably, reading through your Bible. You shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing. Paul appeals to that as a giving principle. The ox in ancient times pulled a threshing sled over a floor, separated the grain from the stalk, from the pod. And it was Old Testament law that ox was not to be muzzled so that he could partake of that of which he was laboring. And then finally in verse 14, Jesus himself is referenced. The Lord directed those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel. So in another place, in Luke's version of that verse, Jesus says the laborer is worthy of his wages. The laborer is worthy of his wages. So one thing to keep, I think, to keep straight in your mind, when you give to the work, when you give to the Navigator staff, it is not charity that you give. It's not a tip. It's not a handout. It's a wage. Because the work of the minister is labor. It's actual work. Now, Paul also said this. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. So you can break that down. Each man should give. You can think about that for a minute. Each man should give. And he should give what he has decided in his heart to give. So, you get to choose whether you give and to whom you give. And Paul in another place had said, if anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. And that includes those who do the work of the ministry. So what's being set up here is a system in which neither one takes advantage of the other. The gospel minister labors, and he's worthy of his wages. And those who benefit give. They decide within their own heart what they will give. So it's not a welfare program. It's not an entitlement system. It's set up so that neither side takes advantage of the other. And so that's the way Paul instructed the church in Corinth to give, and I think those are principles that we can take away ourselves. One other place, Philippians. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, Paul says this, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. And you might wonder, well, how exactly did they participate in the gospel? There's probably a number of ways. But one way we find in chapter 4. In verses 15 and 16 of chapter 4, Paul also said to this church, you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. So what is Paul saying to them? They were partners in his mission. They were partners in his ministry. And it's even through their gifts. Because, you know, Paul, he moved on. He didn't stay in Philippi. He moved on. He moved on to Thessalonica. And they continued to support him. And so they had a stake in what he was doing. They had a share in that work. So it's true that the laborer is worthy of his wages. He works, and he deserves a certain amount of compensation. But it's also true that the one who shares in that work through their giving is just as much a part of that work. So that's the great thing about giving is you become invested. You become invested in what's happening. So let me just say a word or two about the giving slip. This is just kind of a mechanical thing, but the envelope that slip is in is addressed to Mark's home address in Murfreesboro. So there's a couple of things you can do. Having thought about this and prayed about this, you could actually write a check tonight or tomorrow. And we'll be taking these up tomorrow. So you could write a check this weekend, or you could take this home with you and you can make out a check to the Navigators and you can mail it to this address. Now, since we're in the modern age, if you look to the right of the chart there next to the monthly amount column, you see there's also a way to give online. You can visit the Navigators website, navigators.org. Click on the tab that says donate, and it's very easy from that point on. So you can give that way. So you can hand in a check this weekend. You can mail it in later, or you can go online. Now, you can give a one-time gift, or you can give monthly. And either one's, however God leads, will bless the one to whom you give. But as you can imagine, it's the monthly amount that is the need. That is the most, that is the way that that's the source of income that these guys have. So it's the way their families are supported, and so obviously that monthly amount is the best. So that's pretty straightforward. And I'd just like to pray for you guys. Father, we thank you so much that you are doing such a marvelous work among us. This weekend is evidence of that. And Lord, we're grateful that you have called men who give themselves to the work of the ministry. And Lord, we thank you that in our giving, we participate. We really do, as David said, become part of God's economy as we do this. Father, I thank you that the way you have arranged this, there is no pressure. There's not in any sense shady or underhanded things going on. But this is the way that you have arranged for your servants to labor for you and to receive their wages. And so we all benefit from that work. So, Father, we thank you for that. And we ask your continued blessing this weekend. In Jesus' name, amen.